Welcome one, welcome all to one of the fastest growing podcasts out there in podcast land. You have found the Paranormal Patriot. I am your host, as always, wearing the tinfoil hat. My name is Tom Velasquez. Thank you for joining me, and thank you for letting me spend about an hour's worth of time just sharing my thoughts with you. Now, before I begin the show this week, I've got some exciting news. For those of you who are Facebook friends of mine, who have gone on Facebook and liked the Paranormal Patriot page, this may be old news, but for those of you who haven't liked the page, first off, go like the page. Type in the Paranormal Patriot. It's on Facebook, of course, and hit like. That's where I send all of my videos, all of my photos that the listeners send in. Any news about the show gets sent there. So go to the Paranormal Patriot on Facebook and like the page. But this week, I received some very exciting news about the show. The internet radio station, coming right up, they're a talk station. They contacted me, and they want to add the show to their lineup. Of course, I agreed. So, on Wednesday, every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 Central Time. Remember that, 3:30 to 4:30 Central Time on Wednesday. If you're not in the Central Time Zone, do the math. But every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30, the Paranormal Patriot plays on Coming Right Up Radio Network. This is extremely exciting. This is a huge testament to not only the hard work I put into the show, but to you, my listeners, because the guys at Coming Right Up, they won't put on just any show. They want a show that has a great fan base, as well as a show that people listen to. They're not going to put on a show where it sounds like two guys talking through tin cans. So without you, my listeners, supporting and promoting the show with me, this wouldn't happen. This is going to open up the show to a vast new audience. The concept of the show is not going to change. I'm still going to talk paranormal. I'm still going to talk politics. Everything remains the same, except now this is officially a radio show. And it will be airing every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 Central Time on Coming Right Up. You can find them, and you can go there to the page, because as I say, it's a talk station. Everything on that show is talk. You can talk about, or you can listen to people talk about anything. That's the beauty of it. You can find them at comingrightup.org. So this is a great honor. I thank everyone at Coming Right Up for the opportunity, and I thank again my listeners, because without you, we wouldn't be here. So sit back, relax, open that mind, and let's enjoy the ride, because this is, as I say, is opening up a whole new chapter in the Paranormal Patriot. So one last time, thank you. Now, today's show, I mentioned it at the end of last week's show, that I think I want to talk about the state of the paranormal field, I guess. And I had a lot of people say, yeah, Tom, I think that's a great idea. I want to hear your thoughts, because a lot of people that listen to this show obviously are interested in the paranormal, and a lot of those are in paranormal groups. And I'm constantly getting feedback from them and complaints, honestly, about where the field is going. So today I'm going to discuss my thoughts on where the paranormal field is at and where I think it's going. And then I want to talk to you about a law being proposed in Oregon. Now, a couple shows back, we had a law in Oregon that I talked to you about that was pretty scary, and that was where the government was going to be mandating government visits to newborn mothers. Basically, checking up on you, making sure you're getting your vaccinations, making sure you're raising that child according to the state. Well, the people of Oregon are going to get inundated again with these socialist, liberal politicians trying to alter the way things are. I'm going to talk about that. And before I get into that, I've got a comment of the week. And it just so happens it's from someone in Oregon. So when we come back, I'm going to give you the comment of the week, and then I'm going to go into where I think the paranormal field is. So sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez, and I will be right back.
Tiptoe as I walk the line. You make moves while I make a night. But I'm already too behind. Let's stop the tape and hit rewind. Sit back and I contemplate a new way to negotiate. You tell me there's no time to waste.
It was so much fun last year. They're going to do it again this year. Friday and Saturday, September 20th and 21st, 2019, join them in Northern Michigan for another Out of This World event, the second annual Michigan UFO Contact. Spend the weekend listening and learning from special guest speakers who will be lecturing about UFO sightings, experiences, the contact phenomenon, and more. Also, be sure to check out their amazing vendor rooms for unique items, creative works, psychic readings, and much more. Some of your favorite vendors from last year are returning, plus they've added a great lineup of new vendors. Because everyone was so pleased with the event's location last year, they have decided to return to the beautiful Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. The resort overlooks the largest inland lake in Michigan, is full of windows, and includes a walkout balcony from the conference room and the vendor room. They have a fantastic restaurant inside of the hotel, and the rooms, they're the best. This will be another educational and refreshing event. Remember, Friday and Saturday, September 20th and 21st, 2019, at the Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. Michigan UFO Contact 2. And when you get there, tell them the Paranormal Patriot sent you. Let's get on with the show this week, everyone. So, as I mentioned before, I think the paranormal field right now is kind of in flux. It's kind of not knowing what it is. And let me explain what I mean by that. Now, for those of you who have listened to the show for a long time, you know, because I've mentioned it before, that I used to be a very, very knowledgeable, one of the most knowledgeable ufologists in Michigan. Well, things changed. I got married, had children, and had to grow up a little bit, I guess, get a full-time job. So my ability and my time to study ufology and to go out on sky watches and do investigations went to zero, and I kind of dropped out of it. Well, then the love of paranormal has always been in me. And I couldn't stay away forever. And I started a group of paranormal investigators called the Paranormal Research and Investigative Society of Michigan, PRISM. We went on ghost hunts. And that lasted a couple years, and just all of my side projects, the show, I started getting into my DJing, I started getting into my making music, everything collided, and that went by the wayside. So, as much as I would love to be back in the paranormal field, I don't really have time to do it. Now, I may go on paranormal investigations, ghost hunts per se, from time to time, but it's not my organization. I loved running my organization because I think I look at the paranormal I look at it differently than most people. The problem with the paranormal field right now, and this is my opinion, but as I said, I get a lot of emails every week from people who are in the paranormal field, and they believe, and they are the ones that are making me think I need to talk about this because they feel the same way. When I was running PRISM, the ghost hunting group, and when I would go out on my UFOs and UFO investigations in the late 90s, early 2000s, the people I was working with, the people I talked to in the paranormal field, they had, I wouldn't call it an open mind, because if you're in the paranormal field and you have a group and, you know, you go on ghost investigations, you pretty much already have in your mind set that you believe in the paranormal. You believe in aliens. You believe in ghosts and Bigfoot and whatever. So I can't even say an open mind. But nowadays, the people when I go on these ghost hunts and do sky watches with these people now, there's either the people that go out and do this to debunk everything. And don't get me wrong, debunking is not a bad thing because there's too many people out there that want their 15 minutes of fame. And we need those people out there to debunk bogus claims. But you could have a UFO land in front of this person, have a gray alien come out, and they're not going to believe what they're seeing, and they're just going to deny it. They don't have that open mind to where they are at least open to the possibility. But in contrast, on the other hand, there are way far too many people that are out there that every little thing is paranormal. I went on a ghost hunt, this probably was about a year and a half ago. It was summer. Must have been 2.5 years ago because it was before my wife was diagnosed. So it was 2.5 years ago, and I think that's the last one I went on. And we investigated this business here in Owosso. And I went with this group. I won't name the group's name out of respect. But they paired up people, which is fine. That's the way to do it when you have a large building like we did. We went in groups of three. The two people I went with, every little creak, every little knock. I mean, we were investigating, and keep in mind, Owosso, Michigan, is a very old lumbering town. Underneath these businesses are dark, dank basements. And there's tunnels that they used to run through underneath Owosso, and a lot of these places still have the access to the tunnels, per se. You can't run the tunnel system because they filled them in for the most part, but they do have areas where you can go into where the tunnels once were. We were sitting, and keep in mind, it was pitch dark. We were sitting in the dark doing an EVP session, and one of the investigators said, if someone's here with us, make a noise. Now, again, keep in mind, this is in the basement of an old building, and somebody honked their horn on the street above us. This investigator swears up and down that that was paranormal. It got to the point where she was freaked out so bad that I said, dear, that was a horn. No, that was someone trying to communicate with us. I said, no, that was someone trying to communicate with another driver to either watch out or get going, get out of the way. It wasn't paranormal. And the other person next to her, he, every little creak and the building settling, people walking upstairs, and these are wood floors, so they creak and they groan. Every little noise. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Yes, I heard that. That's the group above us walking. No, there's somebody down here with us. There's something down here. Get the EVP. Let's do an EVP session. And they have all of this equipment. I mean, when we would go out on an investigation with Prism, I am not a big fan of the technology. I would use flashlights, voice recorders. I would use an EMF detector and thermometer, temperature gauges. These people are putting up gadgets that, I forgot what they're called, but they cast a grid. And if anything breaks that grid, an alarm goes off. They've got these K2 meters. They've got basically a bunch of stuff that's unproven that to these people, when something goes off or, you know, a light flashes on, is definitive proof of paranormal activity. And that is where I am starting to have an issue in the paranormal field, is everybody has the latest and greatest technology. The latest and greatest technology is either your eyes seeing either a UFO, an alien, a Bigfoot, a dogman, or a ghost, or catching audio of it, or video. I like video cameras. I'll take those too. I took those out on the investigations. But other than that, everything else is unproven. It's somebody else's thoughts that this will work. Yeah, this will work. And people buy this. People spend hundreds and thousands of dollars on this equipment. Who knows if it works? Who knows what they're picking up? I went on a hunt a couple years ago, and a guy pulled out this homemade contraption that would scan frequencies. And he would listen to this thing. Oh, listen. Somebody just said something. All I hear is static. You got to listen beyond the static. If I've got to listen beyond the static, what good is this thing? Well, they're coming in from a different frequency because they're in a different plane. They're in a different dimension. I just don't buy it. And it's things like this that are polluting and diluting the paranormal field. Going out on a UFO skywatch, people have these laser pointers that they point at these lights. And listen, that's dangerous because 9 times out of 10, if not more, that light you're pointing a laser at is an airplane. That's a federal offense. But they want to point these lights at them, these lasers at them, in hopes of getting a response. They have these contraptions that say, oh, we can pick up the electromagnetic field or the anti-gravity field of the UFO when it's near. According to who? There's so many, it's just like snake oil back in the old West days. You have these traveling guys that used to go around in their covered wagons selling their wares to anybody that would buy them. Well, now that covered wagon's called the internet. Same people are still around, same people that will buy anything just because you give them a good story. But the paranormal field needs to get back to the basics. Don't give me all this technology. Don't give me the technology that this is going to prove that ghosts exist, because if nobody's here but that grid is broken, yeah, that means that a spirit was here. That's paranormal activity. How do I know a speck of dust is not doing that? You don't know. I'm not even going to get, well, I will get into this. There are so many people, and there's a growing number of people who swear orbs are ghosts. I'm telling you, people, orbs are not paranormal. They're not spirits. They are specks of dust or a bug. The reason they look as they do is because the camera can't focus on them because it's trying to focus on something else. Nobody sees these orbs in plain sight. It's always when they're watching it on playback. Well, look at that. That changed direction. It's because it's a bug. The camera can't focus on it. Now, I have seen, now, there's a difference between an orb and a ball of light. I've seen the balls of light. If you've ever listened to my Dice Road investigation, the first investigation that Prism went on, you will know that we saw a glowing blue ball of light hovering above a tombstone. But I've been on so many investigations where I'm playing it back and somebody's like, oh my God, look! And I'm like, it's dust. And it doesn't matter that you tell them, look, it, somebody just walked through there. They kicked up dust. There's about four or five other ones in the frame that you didn't see. Well, that one changed direction. That's a bug. The camera can't focus on it. So for those of you who believe that orbs are spiritual, that orbs are paranormal, please come debate me. I have never, ever seen an orb with my own two eyes live. Every time I've seen one of these, it's in playback, and it's always because of the limitations of the technology that we use. Again, the paranormal field right now is in flux because there's too many people on either side of the fence. There's too many people that will believe anything. Anything they see, anything they hear, anything they feel is a ghost, is paranormal activity. And there's some people out there that no matter what they see, it could be a ghost materializing right in front of their eyes and they're not going to believe it. The reason I think that we have so many people out there that will believe anything is you have an influx of ghost hunting shows. Now, they're starting to wane a little bit. Back in, 2006, 2007, to about 2014, 2015, you couldn't turn on the TV without seeing a ghost hunting show. I mean, you've had everything from Ghost Hunters to Paranormal Lockdown to Ghost Adventures to Haunted, Most Haunted, I think it was. Is that the British one where the guy, the former soccer player, claiming he was possessed all the time? You had a glut of those on television. And they were popular, and we had a ton of paranormal groups spring up because of that. Because on TV, you look at this, and there's always something going on. Every 2-3 seconds, somebody's hearing something. Somebody's seeing something. And some of those are legit. But the truth is, if you've never been on a paranormal investigation, it's not like that. You spend 99.99% of the time sitting in the dark doing nothing. But television, that doesn't make good television, so they won't show you that. And we had such a glut of these shows on TV that people left and right started up these paranormal groups. A lot of them started up and then gone once they realized what happened. What really happens on an investigation. They're like, this is nothing like TV. But some of them have stayed around and they've been trained to realize or to know or to think, I should say, they've been trained to think by watching these television shows that everything's paranormal. That is, in my opinion, the doubters, the debunkers, they're not nearly as prominent as these always paranormal people. So these always paranormal people, they are what are hurting the paranormal field. They are what are causing the paranormal field to be ridiculed because there are blatant hoaxes online that people will look at and say, oh my gosh, that's so real. And that's another problem with the paranormal field nowadays is the technology we're using on these computers, you can generate anything. And it looks, you can't tell the difference between real and fake. So you do not know if what you're looking at online or that video you're seeing, you don't know if that's faked unless you can get it recorded by multiple people from multiple angles, or you go by the old standby eyewitnesses, eyewitness accounts. If you have multiple eyewitnesses that see the same thing, then you can start to believe it a little bit more. For example, a couple years ago in Jerusalem, it was either the Temple Mount or Dome of the Rock, there was a UFO that was shown coming down and hovering over that particular site. It sat there hovering over, and then a flash of light came out, and then it shot out of the sky, or shot up into the sky at incredible speeds. The thing is, multiple people that not only saw that, but they videoed it from multiple angles. So that was, people were saying, that's definitive proof of UFOs. Well, then people started coming out and saying, no, that was a movie promotion. That was not real. That was just a film to promote this movie. Well, you know what? That really wasn't the case either, because that was found out to be put out by people that didn't believe and didn't want to believe in UFOs, so they made up this story, that it was a promotion for a film, and what you were seeing is just like any other promotion, just something to drum up interest. Well, that wasn't the case. This was a legit UFO sighting taken by multiple people. It was witnessed by multiple people and filmed by multiple people, all from a different angle. So don't, I mean, it's all's not dire for the paranormal community because of the way technology is. We just have to get to basics. And the basics are film, or, boy, I just dated myself, didn't I? Is video, audio, and feel. I mean, we have an intuition in us that senses when something's not right. Now, I'm not talking feeling where, oh my gosh, I'm getting scratched. Not saying it doesn't happen, but it doesn't happen as much as that Nick guy on Ghost Adventures says it does. It just doesn't happen that often. But we have to get back to basics. When we do that, and when we weed out all these, because eventually these people that always paranormal, these people will weed themselves out. And then we can get into serious investigators, because right now the field is inundated with amateurs. We need to get back to professional investigators that know what they're doing, that can look at things objectively, that are not complete debunkers, but they're not always paranormal people. They can look at it and say, I don't know, let's look at that again. And then do some research, do some backup, and go from there. Because right now, that's not what we have. For the most part, we have, it's just paranormal. Everything is paranormal. Somebody's smoking a cigarette. The smoke goes through, their camera when they take a picture. Look at that ghost. You know, you got the guy next to you smoking. What's one of the main rules when you're doing an investigation? Don't smoke. That way you don't even have to worry about that problem. So that is my thoughts. I think we can get back to it. I think we can get back to basics. We need to get back to basics. For those of you in the paranormal field, let me know what you think. I can be contacted at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, that email address is ghostseeker4@charter.net. Drop me a line. Let me know what you think. If you're a new listener listening on Coming Right Up, drop me a line. Let me know where you're hearing it from. I want to hear from my listeners. That's where I get all of my show ideas, essentially, is from my listeners. So keep them up. So we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to go over the comment of the month, and then we're going to get into the final segment of the show. So sit back, relax, open the mind. My name is Tom Velasquez. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. And I'll be right back.
I know you knew we couldn't keep this out of break it off for a million reasons. To bring him back to life was beyond our reaches. Now you're just a stranger, just a stranger. I know you knew we couldn't keep this out of break it off.
All right, I just wanted to let everyone know the music that you hear on this show, you can listen to for free. All you have to do is go to Jamendo.com, Jamendo.com. Jamendo is loaded with up-and-coming artists and musicians. And the best part of it is they are letting you hear their creations and download their creations for free. Just to get the name out there. So, if you like the music that you hear on this show, go to Jamendo.com. There's a ton more where that came from. Remember, Jamendo.com, Jamendo. Let's get to the comment of the week. This comment comes from Dylan, who lives in Oregon. Dylan writes to me, "Tom, I've really learned to hate your show." Well, that's a great way to start the letter. Thanks, Dylan. Says, "I'm a 23-year-old Bigfoot researcher, and your topic last week was very offensive to me." Hold on. Dylan, hold on. You have listened to this show, so you would know that you are what I'd consider a millennial. And millennials are offended by everything, so it does not surprise me that you would be offended by the show topic. But I digress. Dylan continues. "You went and ridiculed this woman for what she states was a family of Bigfoot that lived behind her house that she lives in harmony with. Why does that seem so inappropriate to you? Why does that seem so out of place? I have seen many, many weird things in the Oregon woods that I would attribute to Bigfoot. Have I seen him braiding a pony's hair? No, but that doesn't mean it can't happen. Bigfoot are real, and they act just like humans. They are essentially big, hairy humans. You had no reason, nor did you have any right to ridicule this woman for what I believe is the very potential possibility that what she's saying is true. My hope is that you devote a completely new show to your apology to this woman. And by the way, I listened to your past shows, and I despise your political views. What you said about the law with the government checking in on newborn mothers, why would that be a bother to you? You live in Michigan. It doesn't bother me. I welcome the government to check on my child. I will never be listening to another show of yours again," which is a shame because he's never going to hear this part that I'm going to talk about here coming up. "And I hope that your show gets taken off the air." Dylan from Oregon. Now, I actually had to respond to this. I usually don't respond to these negative ones because they say what they want and they go. But I had to respond to this because I didn't know if this was a joke. When this guy says that Bigfoot are really just hairy humans, I'm like, this. I'm getting my leg pulled here somewhere. But no, this guy is legit. So Dylan from Oregon, if you are listening, I'm hoping you are, but if you're not, you're not. Okay. Maybe one of your friends or somebody you know is, and they can tell you, hey, they talked about you on the show. You didn't like my segment on the overstepping of the bounds, government overreach, where the government's going to come in and check on your children. Wait till you hear what I say next on what the politicians in Oregon want to do. So, Oregon politicians, as if we didn't think they were leftist, socialist to begin with, well, they are showing their true colors. It has been said that children, well, they're our future. And that's right. Children are going to be our future. Well, there's a group of Oregon lawmakers that wants to make them our future right now. They are pushing a bill that would amend Oregon's constitution to lower the voting age in the state from 18 to 16. They hope to put it before voters in 2020. Democratic State Senator Shemiah Fagan said younger Oregonians should have a chance to participate in the ballot about decisions that affect their homes, their clean air, their schools, and as we've seen, their very lives. Teens are begging us to take action to protect their future, she added. Now, Fagan referenced the students from Parkland, Florida, who launched the Never Again movement in the wake of the 2018 mass shootings at their high school. Several Oregon student activists, in other words, several Oregon student socialists, spoke at a press conference about why they believe they deserve the right to vote before age 18. We need to be able to take our work to the ballot and protect the policies we are working so hard to pass. Now, that is according to Maria Torres, South Salem High School senior. I want all of my listeners to understand one thing. Children, and that's what a 16-year-old child is they're still children. They haven't fully mentally developed, have no business voting. The only reason that the Democrats would want a 16-year-old voting is because of one reason, and that is because they're going to vote on social issues that benefit the Democrats because they're still in school and they're being indoctrinated. So all they hear every day while they're at school is how great socialism is, how horrible Republicans and conservatives are, how horrible Donald Trump is. That's what they hear. They see teachers putting videos up on the board of Donald Trump and then playfully shooting at him, saying, die, die, die. Why wouldn't they want these kids to vote? This is just another power grab by the Democrats. And again, what's going to happen is if it goes in Oregon, Washington's going to follow because Washington elected a socialist governor. And it's just going to go to all the liberal states. And this country is going to be even more divided. But what I find really, really amazing is this is the same Democratic Party who said, we have to fight for these young children's lives. This is the same Democratic Party that says, hey, if that baby's born, if you don't want it, we'll kill it. And then we'll harvest its parts. This is the Democratic Party of 2019. They are no longer hiding who they are. And there are still people that believe everything they say and will follow them without even thinking. It's scary that it's gotten this far, honestly. I don't know where to go from here. I don't know what we can do from here because, well, case in point, we'll use the guy that I work with. And by the way, I'm not going to be working with this guy much longer, so all these stories are going to go away. I've actually taken a position somewhere else, and I started a new job March 4th. So let's get all my guy I work with stories out while I can. But he had the gall to tell me that his dream ticket would be Bernie Sanders, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And I looked at him. I said, you're nuts. You're absolutely nuts. What about what they're telling you is enticing? And his response was, well, free schooling, free housing, free this, free that, free this, free that. And I've mentioned the story before. Every time he says that, all I have to tell him is, define free for me. Well, if I want to go to school, I don't have to pay for it. Who's paying for it? Because that school that you're going to is not going to stay running if it's not getting paid by someone. Well, it'll get paid by the government. Okay. Who's paying the government? And he stops and we are. Exactly. So is it free? Well, yeah, because I don't have to pay for it. I said, but you're paying for it with your taxes. Well, I'll pay more in taxes to go to school for free. It's cheaper. And I said, or you could go and pay your way and get a good job and not have to worry about being taxed up the wazoo. The money you make, the money you keep. Because eventually, as I stated before, people's money is going to run out. How long did it take Venezuela? 10 years and the money ran out? Venezuela was the fourth most prosperous nation in South America. The vast amount of oil that they produced made that country very prosperous. Until Maduro came in and what was his name? Hugo Chavez? What was that guy's name? The guy, the president that died, the socialist. Hugo Chavez? I forgot his name already. Anyway, the guy before Maduro who was a raging socialist, communist. It took 10 years of those policies of stealing people's money out from under them before that country turned into a cesspool where you don't know where your next meal is coming from. The average Venezuelan has lost 30 pounds because they can't afford to eat. There's no food. I saw an article that you won't see in the mainstream media that said the dog and cat population is almost non-existent on the streets now because people are resorting to that. There's a dog. That's food. Can you imagine America where, well, let's look at my house, for example. I own two dogs and five cats. My daughter loves cats, and we have five cats. Can you imagine it gets so bad in your house? If you have a dog or you have cats or five cats, can you imagine having to resort to eat them to stay alive, to survive? Can you imagine that? Because I sure can't, but that's where we're going. And it looks like Oregon and New York and Virginia and Washington, all these liberal states, they are pushing and they're leading the way. And where's the pushback? I mean, honestly, where is the pushback from the average Joe? I mentioned it a couple shows back. What is going to be your point where you say enough's enough? Now, if you lean on the left side of the aisle, Donald Trump was your point. But those of us who reside either right side of the aisle or even independent, what's your breaking point where you say I can't take it anymore? They're too far out. There's no way I can support this. And, you know, what are you going to do? It's lowering the voting age in Oregon is a simple power play. The Republicans there have no chance of knocking that out. Oregon is such a liberal state that, yeah, they're going to pass this. This will go before. And look at your 16-year-old. My 16-year-old daughter right now, her her dad, me, is a constitutionalist. I believe in the Constitution. And I still have a hard time with her and her views because she's being indoctrinated. She has kind of a dislike for Donald Trump. And it shouldn't be that way because her mother doesn't despise Donald Trump. Obviously, her father doesn't despise Donald Trump. So where is she getting it? She doesn't watch the news. I know that. So where is she getting it? She's getting it from the schools. The schools are teaching them that the Republican conservative Constitution, that the Constitution itself is flawed. That's what is being taught. And oh, by the way, are you hearing that from the news? Yes, the news is regurgitating that, as well as every Democrat out there. The Constitution's a flawed document. And that's what they're being taught in school. So a 16-year-old, well, just say I'm living in Oregon right now. My 16-year-old daughter would be able to vote. How do you think she's going to vote? She's going to vote how she's told to vote. These kids in those schools, you don't think they're going to be told how to vote? It's inevitable. It's a proven fact that as these millennials or as these liberals, I should say, as they grow up and get into the real world and see how the real world is, their views change. Their parties essentially change. There's a reason why most of your older generation people, why they're more conservative, why they're more constitutionalists. A, because they grew up in freedom and they can see what's happening in this country and they don't want to see it go down the way of Nazi Germany or Venezuela, for that fact, or the Soviet Union. But they realize that what they were being told when they were younger, that's not real life. I try to teach my kids that. My son, he gets it. The cosmic dreamer, he gets it. My oldest son, no, he's 24. He doesn't get it. He thinks everybody should pay his way. He thinks he's entitled because that's what he's being taught. My daughter, kind of the same way. My son, he's 15. He gets it. You know, he listens to his dad and he understands that that's not how things work. But you take a 16-year-old. These are the kids that were eating Tide Pods two years ago. They're eating Tide Pods. They are offended at everything. They don't know what gender they are. They are gender fluid. These are the kids that are going to determine Oregon state law. I'm telling you right now, let it happen and watch that state implode on itself due to all the social programs that these 16-year-olds are going to help implement. It's no different than California. California can't stand on its own two feet because they're so far in debt because they have all of these social programs to help everybody. People are leaving California in droves because they can't afford the taxes. And that's how these social programs are paid for, is by taxes. So let it happen in Oregon. I don't want to see it happen in the nation. I don't want to see the voting age drop nationwide to 16, but let it happen in Oregon and watch the fun begin. Because you are going to see free healthcare. You're going to see free education. If you don't want to work, just like AOC's Green New Deal, those unwilling to work, you're still getting paid. What? How is that even possible? How, if you can work, you are physically able to work, but you cannot just fathom having to get up and go to a job? How can you say, that's good enough for me, I'll still pay you? That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen in Oregon. These 16-year-olds trust me, the kids of today have no work ethic. Very few of them do. You try and put a 16, even a up to 22, 23-year-old kid in a job that requires any type of physical labor. Where I'm working for a couple weeks more, we have what we call porters. These people move cars in and out of the service lane. They clean up. They do trash and everything. We can't keep them. They last about a week before we're like, oh my gosh, I can't do this anymore. That's the generation that we have growing up. There's no work ethic. You can fight me all day on this. This is true fact. There is no work ethic. And they don't want to work. So they will vote all these social programs into Oregon state law that ensures that they don't have to work. So again, let it happen. It's scary, and it's a power grab by the Democrats, and it's going to reverberate to these other liberal states that are going to be like, wow, that's a good idea. What a better way for our party to stay in power than to just have these kids vote us in. They'll help vote us in. That's all it is. This isn't about the kids. This isn't about protecting their lives, because if it was, we wouldn't be boarding and killing 9-month-old babies after birth or during birth. That wouldn't even be a topic that I would discuss, but the Democratic Party thinks that that's okay. But we got to save these 16-year-old kids who are offended by everything, and they're just afraid. They're afraid of everything now. Look, there are times I'm afraid for my kids to go to school because you never know. But trust me, having 16-year-old kids vote is not the answer. Maybe, just maybe, instead of having to have 16-year-old kids vote to protect their lives, maybe we should hold the people, the adults that we vote in there, maybe hold them accountable to vote our interests instead of theirs and their lobbyists. That's a novel thought, but no, we'll just rewrite the whole book. So 16-year-olds, pretty soon you're going to be 10 years old and voting. In Oregon, you're going to have 10-year-old kids smoking cigarettes, drinking alcohol, driving cars. Who knows what's going to happen in that state? But this I can guarantee you. You let 16-year-old children vote on pressing issues, you will deserve everything that you get, because you only brought it on yourselves. And people will learn very quickly. 16-year-old kids do not have the mental capacity or the mental fortitude to understand what they're voting for. They are just being indoctrinated and being told what to believe and what to think, and pretty soon what to vote. It will be a scary time in Oregon once this happens. I don't want to be a part of it. For those of you, hey, Dylan in Oregon might love this. Maybe then he can petition to get the Paranormal Patriot off the Oregon airwaves. I'm actually surprised I have such a following in Oregon, seeing where my political views fall and seeing where the state's political views fall. But, you know, hey, I'm glad of it. Thank you for listening in Oregon. California's huge. I guess there are some Republicans there. I don't know, whoever's the last one in California, turn the lights out, right? So things are changing. Things are different. This whole country is completely changing. It's completely doing a 180. And it's scary. It's almost exciting in a way to see what happens next. To see when are we going to say enough is enough. Obviously, it hasn't got to that point, but we'll see. So anyway, so that I think is going to be this week's show. I think I've talked enough. I appreciate you listening this week. Send me those show ideas. Send me show ideas. Send me what you think. What do you, if you are in the paranormal field, what do you think? Am I spot on? Is what I said rubbish? Tell me what you think of the paranormal field. Tell me what you are going through. Do you believe that there's too many people that are, I guess, people, two true believers, always paranormal. Let me know what you think. For those of you who are new to the show, listening on Coming Right Up Radio Network, first off, welcome. I hope you enjoyed the show. Contact me, for those of you listening, anybody, but especially those listening on Coming Right Up, contact me, ghostseeker4@charter.net, ghostseeker4@charter.net. A, let me know you're listening on Coming Right Up, and B, let me know what you think of the show, and send me those show ideas. I always get great show ideas from my listeners. If you've had a paranormal encounter, let me know. I will put them on the show. Every so often, I get a bunch of paranormal encounters from my listeners, and that becomes a show. And they're very, very well received. So thank you for listening. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez, taking off the tinfoil hat. I will talk to you next week.
My fate is sealed with no cards, trapped in a room with no walls. I'm going down along with this feeling.